This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Femininio, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femininio, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track. getdavidgetpaid.com.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We've seen some rankings that have gone on for drafts, and a lot of times people like to do redrafts and things like that. But when you look back at the latest draft, it's not really looking too good for the Detroit Lions, is it, John?
Well, no, it's not. And this is all production after year one.
Correct. Brad Holmes and others have always said it's only fair to judge a draft after 3 years.
Right. And so you look and you say, okay, Ennis Rakestraw, didn't get a lot out of him, injured. Giovanni Manu. Didn't get a lot out of him because he was a developmental product. Sione Vaki, you got a lot out of special teams. They didn't use him other than some mop-up duty on the running back side of things. Mekhi Wingo, banged up, ended up missing a large part of the season. Christian Mahogany, didn't see him until the very end of the year. Now, there is some promise.
Oh, yes.
In this year's draft. Tarion Arnold, all right? Especially at the beginning of the year, was flagged, you can call it, hey, maybe they're picking on him, maybe he's got to earn his stripes, whatever. He's an aggressive style of corner, and he was flagged a lot for pass interference. Not as much towards the end of the year. Still some growing pains there. So production in year one wasn't what you really want out of this past year's draft. You can look at, I mean, and especially following the draft that was the year before, And even 2 years ago, when you're starting to talk about the four picks that they had in the first two rounds, Brian Branch, Laporta,
right.
Jack Campbell, and Jahmyr Gibbs, like that's the gold standard in regards to where Brad Holmes has been able to get production out of first year players. There just wasn't a lot of production out of first year players. Tarion Arnold did, correct me if I'm wrong, but he did start every game. Maybe there's one that he missed because of injury, but he started every game.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's certainly an upside there. Ennis Rakestraw, they doubled down on the corner position. He didn't play, injured. I still think there's some upside there in terms of depth at that position, but it wasn't there in terms of production in year one.
Now, there's some ratings that people, you know, on websites have ranked the Lions draft and the rest of the league as well. And you saw one that the Lions were, what, 24th, I believe?
They were bottom five.
Bottom five?
Yeah. Well,
and I saw one, the Lions were next to last, 31st. And when you look at because of the production from year one, it's a fair ranking system.
Sure.
And when you look at the team that, you know, the Lions have to get better than to get to the Super Bowl, probably it's the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending champs. And if you're going to compare this draft, and look, Brad Holmes' first three drafts were really, really good, okay? Howie Roseman's first, those three drafts were really good as well. And you could say maybe, you know, Holmes is better in 1 year or whatever. But they, you know, they both produced a lot of really good players. But last year, okay, Philadelphia traded up to get Quinyon Mitchell at 22. The Lions traded up to get Terry and Arnold at what, 24. Okay. Philadelphia in the second round took Cooper DeJean.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions took Rakestraw. Now, that was after DeJean, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Okay? Yes. Yes. So the Stoney app would have Cooper DeJean instead of Terrion Arnold.
Or Sanestrill instead of...
Correct.
Instead of Terrion Arnold. And in the third round, the Eagles took Jalix Hunt, who was really out of Houston Christian, who came on really late and had a who was pretty damn productive. And they had a backup running back. So they had a really good draft. It's fair to say that Brad Holmes, based on 1 year, which might be unfair, but just based on 1 year, I'm going to give him the three that we should. Based on 1 year, it was a bad, bad draft.
I'm not willing to go there yet.
And,
Bad?
I said bad, bad.
So when you have a roster like the Lions had, now, again, this is before all the injuries on defense, and we're going into last year thinking this was a very talented roster. So how many of these guys are you expecting production from in year one? First round pick, certainly. And it's, I mean, in terms of Terrion Arnold.
Right.
And they got production out of him. He started.
Yeah, production from the flag company.
Right. But I also think, okay, he wasn't going to be Sauce Gardner. I wanted Cooper DeJean, but I'm not going to sit here and split hairs about what they might eventually become. I still think Cooper DeJean is going to be a better corner and defensive back than we're going to see out of Terrion Arnold. But Ennis Rakestraw hurt. So you can't necessarily judge that one. Now, if he always stays hurt, then that adds to part of it. But when you are as talented as you are, you're going to have some guys that are drafted as projects. Well, Giovanni Manu was certainly drafted as a project. Now, the issue with that is it's on the heels of drafting Broderick Martin as a project, correct, defensive line-wise. And Broderick Martin has not developed into anything that I think Brad Holmes thought he would be.
But don't you think it's fair to say, real quick,
Sione Vaca, you're drafting a special teamer.
No, I understand that. But don't you think it's fair to say, based on the 1 year, which is, that's not fair, judging after 1 year, but if we are going to play that game and judge for 1 year, that Brad Holmes had a bad draft, bad, bad draft, based on just the 1 year. I don't see how you can look at it any other way.
But you're drafting for different purposes.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about?
Philadelphia was pretty talented, going into the season, right?
Yeah, and so we can argue whether or not it should have been Terrion Arnold or Cooper DeJean, but if you're drafting guys that are projects like a Manu and even a Vaki, but you're drafting him as a special teamer.
All right, so I'm a little bit more with Stoney here on this. And CBS
trying to say it was a great draft.
CBS did a redraft also yesterday.
My apologies for interrupting you.
CBS did a redraft yesterday, and DeJean and Mitchell were the top two. They went 7-11, so the Eagles couldn't even get either of their guys that they took. So seven corners went in the first round of this redraft, which is pretty remarkable when you think about it. One of them is not named Sanestrill, which is even surprising.
Right.
And one of them's not named Terrion Arnold.
Right.
Look, this comes down to Arnold right now, because I agree with John in terms of the projects.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have a problem with taking Manu. You got to roll some dice. I think Mahogany's probably going to work out and be
agreed
a startable guard. So that's really a home run pick. But I mean, there was opportunity there to take better players that would have helped this team this year. And I'll tell you what, right now, I'm not sold on Terrion Arnold being a starting corner in this league. I'm not. Maybe he's a two.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of work to do.
Absolutely.
And he had some really nice help with a veteran on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. That's why they need another vet. And if they don't bring him back, they got to get
the two
somebody.
Safeties they had, and yeah, it still performed like that.
Yeah,
that's what worries me.
Right. And look, Holmes got those safeties, so he did a nice job with those. And there's no doubt his other drafts were great. This draft, bad, bad so far.
After year one.
Okay, right, exactly. That's what I said, after year one. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. Let's go to Demetrius. You're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I hate disagreeing with Stoney because I love Stoney. Everybody does. But I think it's unfair for two reasons. John has pointed one out. Your strategy, when you're a Super Bowl caliber team, you're as talented as they were a year ago today, your draft strategy is different. 2 years ago, they had clear gaping holes, plus they had two ones and two twos. So benchmarking against that draft is patently unfair because they needed, when you got Gibbs and Branch Laporta Campbell, all those guys could walk in and truly had an opportunity to start from day one because they had those needs. 1 year ago today, this was a Super Bowl caliber team that, with the exception of, I think, guard and corner, but they filled guard in free agency, corner was the spot. I think it's good because I think Arnold's going to be better, and I believe that John is absolutely right in you can't count injuries, right? They drafted projects on purpose. They specifically drafted projects. And when you're drafting a project, you have to, by definition, give the project time. So a lot of this is just after 1 year,
right.
A project is still a project.
Right. Well, but then, look, Demetrius, that's what we say. It's only after 1 year. You can't fairly judge a draft till after 3 years. We all agree that. But if you're going to grade or rank a draft after 1 year for our little exercise, it was not good because other teams got better cornerbacks that were, some were available, some weren't, when the Lions took Arnold. So based
you're not really grading the whole draft. You're grading the Terrion Arnold pick. And if you're doing that, I agree. You're fine. But I don't think you can benchmark the draft with Branch and Laporta and those guys because there's more picks.
No, I'm not comparing it to his great draft. No, I'm just judging on this year's draft was not, as of 1 year, it was bad. There's nothing wrong with criticizing Brad Holmes every once in a while.
I don't think anybody is worried about criticizing Brad Holmes.
He's an executive of the year, and all, he's been a terrific general manager. It's possible, based on 1 year, that this draft was a punt. It's possible. 97 won the ticket.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It appears Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network did a conference call regarding the Lions, whether it was yesterday or earlier today or whenever it was. And the topic of Myles Garrett came up, and he said something that makes me cringe. And I don't believe him. I am not a fan of whatever it takes guy. Go get Myles Garrett, whatever it takes, or really any whatever it takes guy, because I don't really believe whatever it takes guy really means it. Whatever it takes is where you get to the Mike Tannenbaum three first-round picks and Jahmyr Gibbs. And whatever it takes guy is like, I will endorse irresponsible spending. If you have any limit at all, you really don't mean whatever it takes. Whatever it takes means there is literally nothing I will say no to. And who really believes that? Who really believes that? And they all give this pat answer. Well, there's two. There's one is, hey, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Two is, well, within reason. Then it's not whatever it takes.
Right. Then don't.
And Daniel,
don't.
I love Daniel Jeremiah. I think he's one of the best in the business. His quote is, then maybe it's out of context or something. I think if I were Brad Holmes on that front, knowing that I could bring a parade to my city, I'd do whatever I had to do to make something like that happen. I you know.
Which needs the next two words, within reason.
Within reason, yeah. And
it's not there.
Yeah. I can guarantee to whatever it takes, guy, I could come up with a trade that you wouldn't do.
The other thing that was interesting with the Daniel Jeremiah stuff is, like, in the next sentence, he's saying he doesn't think Cleveland's going to trade Myles Garrett.
Yes.
Which is also kind of wishy-washy, but...
If you don't think... Okay, because if a team is willing to do whatever it takes, I suspect that Cleveland could be moved off that position. Right? In fact, that's how you get completely rooked in a trade, is you go in with a whatever it takes attitude to a team that says... Now, so maybe I'm being too literal here. I'll admit that. But we get a lot of that to this show.
Yeah.
And so when until I see I really respect say the same thing, I'm like, dude.
Because we asked the people that will call in and say the same thing. What did the guy do? Otherwise, it's malpractice. You have to do whatever it takes. Okay, let me ask you this. Would you do this? And then we propose something.
It's the Tannenbaum deal.
Well, no, that's too much.
It's always
right.
The Tannenbaum deal.
Three first-round picks and Jahmyr Gibbs. Do you do that? No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. You know, do you do two first-round picks in Jahmyr Gibbs?
Now, would you say I would find a way to outbid the next highest bidder as best I could? I mean, that's one way to put it. I just think whatever it takes, guy, isn't really thinking it through or doesn't really mean it. Because if they have any limit, that means you have no limits. No limits. Now, maybe being Captain Literal isn't the most... I am being Captain Literal on this one, but 248-539-9797. When I saw that a guy that I love said it, I'm like, do I pay attention? Do I listen to, because Daniel Jeremiah said it? And I thought, no, I just disagree with Daniel, unless there was more to the quote that I didn't see because I wasn't part of that news conference.
Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything. Good to have you with us at 5 o'clock. We did open the show creating a verb. Colard, you'd have to use the rewind if you want it. It's very simple, though. Rico Sportsgasm Saturday. Jackson Kohler turning into Shaq like he promised me. MSU Purdue tonight, State Lane 3.5. If you're into it, great. Rico also did confirm, finally, Braden Smith, in fact, is Amish. But I wanted to go a different direction with this. And it is a Lions question. It's not a panic. It's a question. So nobody freak out. So reports this weekend that made the rounds that the Buffalo Bills officially reached out to the Cleveland Browns about Myles Garrett, and that the Buffalo Bills are one of the top three teams in the mix, according to Vegas, to get him. Now, the number one team is the Commanders, which should be concerning to Lions fans considering they dusted your ass and they're looking to add Myles Garrett. But I wanted to ask a question. At what point would you be concerned having not heard that the Lions have reached out to the Cleveland Browns officially?
Now, at what point?
Yeah. At what, like, is it a big deal or not? Because again, maybe a team moves in silence. That Christian McCaffrey trade came out of nowhere. Okay. It can happen. But it's February 18th. We got a couple weeks until free agency starts. I do believe there will come a point where the Myles Garrett thing does become a thing. It's not a thing right now. Mm-hmm. He says, I want to be traded. The team has said, we're not doing that. He's going to win because the team's going to be forced to trade him. So my question was, when do you need to hear, or maybe you don't need to hear it at all. I mean, I can't believe there are people in this town who don't want the guy. I don't understand that at all. But
well, you can talk to those people.
Leave I think out. That, yeah, I would probably say when it gets closer to the draft, because I think it's going to happen before the draft, because I think Cleveland is going to want picks in this year's draft.
That's why I said it.
Not next year. So I would probably say late March, early April, I need to hear the Lions' name the way I heard the Tigers' name about Bregman. You don't get him. That's okay. But it means that you not only were kicking the tires, you were ringing the phone, you were doing everything you possibly could. He just chose, or the Browns just chose a better deal, and that's okay.
I can live with that.
But you tried.
I'm with you. Because I'll tell you this. David read, this was earlier in the show during a blitz, guys, and the top five teams that are in the Myles Garrett market, four of them are NFC teams. Bears are one of them. Commanders are one of them. They just beat you in the playoffs. Eagles are one of them. Look, hate to break it to you. The Eagles are the best team, not just because they won it, but the way they did it. And they have a better roster. If they had Myles Garrett, that's a distinct problem. So I wonder now that we are almost 2 weeks, not quite, but almost 2 weeks from the Super Bowl, and whatever euphoria slash hangover has subsided, Myles Garrett becomes to me the preeminent thing I'm looking for this offseason for the Detroit Football Lions. In essence, what you do or don't do with Carlton Davis or any defensive back is rendered moot. What you do or don't do with any defensive lineman, moot. None of it matters. If you get Myles Garrett, it is a paradigm-shifting move.
I think Almy Ra put it best. We don't need corners. We got Myles Garrett. We'll just go out there without a corner.
For lack of a better, you're right. But I just wondered, hearing, you know, because again, there's so much gamesmanship and there's so much intentional, forceful leaks. But the Bills going out and now you're like, wow. You start imagining Myles Garrett with the Bills. And while that doesn't directly impact the Lions, you'd have to make the Super Bowl to deal with it. You feel better if you're a Bills fan going, we have gone out. We don't care who knows it. We're all in on this. Look, would I like to see a report the Lions have reached out? Mm-hmm. Or something is leaked out through the Adam Schefters of the world that the Lions' top priority this offseason is Myles Garrett? Yes. Why? Because you see that with other teams. You see that with other operations. Now, do I need it today? No. But start a free agency is where I would like to hear it, because the money does matter. You're not going to be able to spend as if you don't plan on pursuing Garrett. And then you have, and then you're the Saints with, by the way, it happened again. This happens every year. I thought of you. I was reading an article about the teams in the worst cap shape.
Oh,
the Saints are $60 million over the cap.
I just don't understand how they don't got a business. You know what? We're going to take a sabbatical. Right. We're taking this year off. We stink anyway.
Closed for remodeling.
Right.
248-539-9797.
Maybe David. They can paint and do all of that.
Right. Something. David, you know, the Bills report, but when would you need to hear the Lions have reached out before you start to go, what are we doing here?
See, March 10th and I think 10th through 12th is that negotiating period before the league year starts. That's when I need to hear something. I need to hear something between that window. Whether there's a rumor, some leak, there's talk here. That's where I need to hear, because you kind of need to have a sense of what your team looks like and feels like money-wise when you get to that league year. So you need to know and you need to hear something then.
But here's the fun part. And by fun, I don't mean fun. You're never going to hear it.
I know.
They're not going to do it. There is a lot of smartest guy in the room with this team. And I
really think so.
Yeah. I feel like there's a 1% shot as I sit here today. And Aiden's comments were extremely strange. Extremely.
Yeah. The more and more I think about it, the more maybe Wojo was on to something. Maybe Aiden.
He was on the bottle. That's about it.
Maybe Aiden knew something and he was just kind of lowering expectations.
No, but I hate what you just said. Why do we have to lower expectations in this town? The job is to be better than the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you better than them as currently constituted? No, you are not. And by the way,
stop. Yes, you were the one seed and they were the two seed, but I believe with all my heart, you would have lost that game.
Yeah, considering you let a rookie come to your stadium.
Well, then it's like, well, we had our entire defense.
Yeah, well, did the defense turn it over five times?
No.
No. So just shut up.
And Philly didn't have their entire defense either.
Don't want to hear it. But no, I don't believe they're doing it. I can tell. Look, I'll tell you what I want. I'm not some fortune teller. I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, no, I tell you what I want. We're in the opinion business. I think it's ridiculous to not chase Myles Garrett. I think it's patently absurd. And whoever gets him, you better pray he's not in the NFC. Because he can single-handedly end your season. He is a different player. Mm-hmm. This is not Montez Sweat. This is a different type of player. This is a guy in the same game. I've seen block a field goal, strip sack the quarterback, and get triple team. I mean, he's a different dude. And I put him opposite Aiden. That's my best course of getting on the Eagles level. But no, do I have faith that they'll do it? No, I do not. But when would I need it before I start to get, you know, 2+2 equals WTF? I think David's got the right viewpoint a couple weeks from now. But if I'm a Bills fan, do I feel better knowing my team, the first thing they did this offseason before the blood was dry, was call Cleveland? Yeah, of course I do. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, David. You're nodding your head. What?
No, I was going to say, because I think the deal happens before the end of March, but if you hear nothing with the Lions and it's coming close to April,
then they're not doing it.
Then, I mean, that's crazy.
I don't have faith that they're going to. No. Let me be candid.
They're not doing it, Mike, or they're going to be the team that moves in silence. They're the team that's negotiating and it's just quiet. Because there are certain teams, when they don't say, when you don't hear their name, you start worrying. Like, what are they doing over there? What were they calling? Lions aren't one of those teams. But maybe they'll turn the page and see, guys, we were a lot further away than we thought we were. We put up video game numbers. We had fun running trick plays. Both coordinators are gone. Ben Johnson's gone. We're going to need some help on the defense. Eagles showed you want to beat Mahomes in the end? You want to beat one of those top quarterbacks? You want to beat Josh Allen? Pressure on the quarterback.
It's also Jalen Hurts. It's also Jordan Love. It's also Burrow. It's also Jaden Daniels. Like, it's all the same. The formula's been the formula forever. Yeah. But see, here's the other thing. We are in a weird place that I don't know what percentage. I just know it's enough to be an annoyance that don't want the guy at all, or even worse, don't think they need him. And I don't get that. I don't. Gold jacket, first ballot Hall of Famers who are still in their prime do not become available very often.
Well, the people who say you don't need him is the whole let Brad Cook people, and he'll come up with the draft pick. And I'll simply say this. If you could get Myles Garrett for the 25th pick, would you take him at 25? The answer is yes. Then trade away that pick, because that's essentially what you would get.
Yeah,
trading away that first rounder.
Look, he's done a really, really nice job. He has. But he's not perfect. I think people have lulled themselves into this false sense of security. He's perfect. Really? Well, the Eagles got Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean out of the draft. You got Terry and Arnold and a corpse. Did you enjoy the meal? Now, again, Arnold, I still think, can become a good player. He wasn't good enough last year, including on one of the penultimate plays of your season, where somehow he spit the bit and gave up the edge on a clear QB read, but fine. And Rakestraw didn't play. And then there is the Broderick Martins. And there is the use of exploratory draft picks. There is the Hendon Hooker pick. You know, if you want, go head-to-head with Howie Roseman over the last 4 years. I'll tell you, one guy cooked and one guy got cooked.
Yeah, I looked at that, and yeah, everybody mocked him. Oh, he's just drafting Georgia players.
Yeah, but he's right. And my point is, Brad is very good at what he does. But this idea that he's somehow towering above everybody else, no. Reality suggests you need some other help here. You know, I can wave goodbye to Zadarius. I could save money and let go of DJ if you get Myles Garrett, it changes everything. So I just wondered, because that report about Buffalo reaching out, I don't know that we're going to see one of those for the Lions. And I think it's going to be a contentious spring here locally. So whatever, 248-539-9797.
We have been talking about Myles Garrett, the odds of him coming to the Detroit Lions, whether or not it's something Brad Holmes would even do. There are just simply other teams that have more capital. And if it's not a championship team, I don't know that the Lions could outbid New England or Washington in terms of one, draft capital, but also the ability to pay an extension to Myles Garrett if that ends up being the case. So let's put a pin in Myles Garrett for just a little bit. They do still need somebody opposite Aiden Hutchinson. And we talked about Sweat from the
Eagles.
Eagles. could be a nice opportunity. Is it Josh Sweat? That's his first. I keep thinking Montez, but it's Josh. He would be a nice addition. There's a couple other guys that are there, but we keep hearing this same name, and it's kind of been one that's been talked about since he was with the Commanders at 2 years ago at the trade deadline. Montez Sweat, who I was talking about, went to the Bears. Chase Young went to the 49ers. He spent a year with the New Orleans Saints last year, had what, 5.5 sacks, ranked like 11 or 12 in terms of pressures on a quarterback. He is a free agent. And there are a lot of people that are talking about the best fit for him, both team and player, might be the Detroit Lions. Is he a guy that you think would fit opposite Aiden Hutchinson on this defensive front? And is he going to be someone that you think Brad Holmes, not going to go top level, top end, can he be more productive with the Detroit Lions with him playing opposite Aiden Hutchinson and then in turn making Hutch even a little bit better?
I think when Chase Young wants to play football, he'd be a great addition to this team.
Or you think it's a motivation issue?
The problem is, and that's the stuff that's, you know, hampered his pro career a little bit.
Well, it's been mostly the injuries.
But people have also questioned his motor and all that stuff. That's and would he fit into the culture? You know, you can always have a few guys who, if they're really good enough, I don't care about the culture that much. As long as it's, you don't have a whole team of them, you have one or two.
Is he a guy that would fit into the culture and would be better because of the culture he's in?
Possibly. That's what they should investigate. Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know, on the field, I mean, hell, he'll be, what, 26 in April?
Yeah, so he's not old.
No. I mean, and some guys, you know, after they play a little bit in the league, that, you know, say, you know what? It'll do me better financially if I get my, you know, motor going a little bit and maybe actually play on a team with a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You never know.
See the writing on the wall.
Yeah, and I also see that there's talk about him maybe going back to Washington where he started his career. I don't know. I mean, you mentioned how much cap room they have, and we'll get into that.
Well, he's not a guy that's going to take up a lot of cap space.
No, I know.
So he would be he wouldn't be far off from the Marcus Davenport signing. True. Where, you know, hey, when healthy and motivated, can be productive.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, and I think he is probably a little more durable than Marcus Davenport's been. And so if they were to sign him to a 2-year deal where it was basically a 1-year prove it contract, they could, you know, cut him loose after next year. Mm-hmm. If he didn't fit, I would have no problem with this. I think he can be very productive as your second option opposite Aiden Hutchinson.
He did play in every game this past year.
Right.
For the first time in his career. I mean, his rookie year, he played 15 games. After that, 9, 3, 7, and 9. So as you have ingrained into my soul, actually in 2023, he played in 16 games because of the trade. I read that wrong. Anyway, but you've ingrained in my soul, my brain.
One of the greatest abilities?
Yes.
Is availability.
Yes.
And I do think he still is he's never going to be an elite pass rusher.
No.
But if he is opposite Hutch, and you know that last year, okay, had 46 pressures, 11 most in the league, had 5.5 sacks, and played every game. So the 5.5 sacks is not going to knock your socks off.
No.
But
is that sacks, to a certain extent, is a little overrated stat? Because sometimes...
Is it?
Well, if you're a guy who doesn't put up great sack numbers, but your pressures, your hurries, your quarterback hits are high in the league, that to me is just as important, or pretty close.
It's close.
Close.
And so that's where I would go with him being opposite Hutch. If he's, you know, through 17-game season, 11th most QB pressures in the NFL, and you'll have Aleem McNeil back. You got DJ Reader inside. You got Hutch on the other side. We saw the videos of him running. I think he's going to be fine by the time the season starts.
Question for you, if you would bring somebody, let's say it is Chase Young, do you cut Za'Darius Smith? Because of your age, Chase Young is probably a more productive player than Za'Darius Smith, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're in a position right now where, one, they don't have to.
Right.
They could have all three of them.
Correct.
And then you have a little bit of depth in case, I mean, I think we've learned that somebody could get hurt.
Yeah, you think Josh Pascal might get hurt?
Well, Pascal, Hutch got hurt. I mean, like, 13 guys defensively, not all on the defensive front. But right. Yeah, Davenport, Aleem McNeil, Hutch, you go down the list of guys that are going to get dinged up, and you can never have too many guys up front on either side of the ball that are good players, quality players that can come in and play. And I think Chase Young has shown that he can be productive and he can also be available.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that don't be surprised if Brad Holmes explores the opportunity to sign Chase Young, and not just for a one-year deal, probably going to be two or three.
How much more draft capital would it take to move up into the top five as a ticket texter and get Abdul Carter instead of trading for Miles Garrett? That's Jay and Warren. Well, you're 28. You might have to go. I mean, there's mock drafts that have Carter. I just mentioned Dave Burkett's mock draft Going up to one. You'd probably have to give up another one, right?
Oh, yeah. You'd have to give up next year's one at a minimum and some more draft capital. Yeah. Man, I don't have the draft value chart in front of me.
Is Abdul Carter worth two number ones and let's say a number three or a number two? I don't know. Because you feel what? So it would be 28. You're hoping it's going to be around the same, if not, you know, better for the Lions, like 32 next year.
So I'm trying to find the correct draft value chart in regards to what everything would cost. But if you're going off of, it won't load. It generally is 3,000 points for the number one overall pick. And I know that value. And by the end of the first round, I'm guessing it's, you know, 600 points. So I don't even think that two first rounders are going to get it done.
No. Okay. Chase Young is another injured end. Why do we keep getting or going after injured ends? Well,
he's got injuries in his past.
The last two seasons, I mean, in 2023, he played 16 of 17, and last year he played all 17. So it's two of his years, okay? His first year he had played 15 out of 17, and then in 21 and 22, he only played 12 combined games. So, yes, he has an injury history, but the last 2 years he's been
healthy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sign Chase to an incentive deal and pick up Smith's player option. Let's go, Aaron. Let's go, Aaron and Lake Oro.
Yeah. I would have no problem with them in having all three of those guys on the roster. Hutch, Za'Darius Smith, and Chase Young.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
No problem with that.
Would you rather have – now, obviously, I think Sweat will cost you more than Chase Young, but you'd rather have Sweat?
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, would I rather have a much more productive player? Yes.
Okay.
The cost is going to be – it might be prohibitive to give – and I don't know if Hutch – I think at some point this offseason they will approach him about an extension. I don't know that he's going to be all juiced up to be able to sign that extension now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's healthy this year, if he's defensive player of the year, which he was on pace to do that this past season – That completely changes the amount of money that he could make in a contract.
Look, is it enough? Chase Young, Hutch, even if he has Za'Darius Smith, you got Wingo coming back, and that's his strength is basically rushing from the
edge.
Yeah, so.
Yes, and you still have Muhammad,
right?
You know, as a depth piece,
and you still have Pascal's there,
right? And you're hoping he takes a step forward.
Yes, you do. So they have the bodies; they'd be pretty good at it. Who knows? 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. 97-1 the take.
Okay, everybody hold on to your asses. I got something for you. This is very, very exciting here. So we were just talking about, hey, Miles Garrett or Vlad Guerrero Jr., you get to make one bold move. Which is it? Why? Great points both ways. But you peruse a little bit, and it's serendipitous. A Miles Garrett trade proposal on Sporting News. Okay. Eight moving pieces. Now, this is going to require some thought. And for the Brad bots, I think the answer is going to end up being a no. But hear me on this. Ready? The Detroit Lions send the following to the Cleveland Browns. Get your pencils out, people. We know. A 2025 first-round pick, number 28 overall.
Okay.
2025 third-round pick, number 101. Your 2026 first-round pick, your 2026 third-round pick, and the dead body of Broderick Martin. In exchange, the Browns send Edge Miles Garrett, a 2025 fifth-rounder, pick 165, and the 2026 second-round pick. Pencils down. Are you making that move? So, essentially, you're swapping if you believe you're going to be really good the next 2 years. Let's say you believe in 2026, you're picking between 25 and 32. You're moving out of that spot, and you're getting Cleveland's two, where I hate to break it to you, they're not going to be that great. But
that could be 35 to 37.
Call it 45, 50. Whatever it is, you're going to get a top 50 player. So you're moving out of that first-round pick. You will have 2 second-round picks in 2026. You give up your first each of the next 2 years. You give up your third each of the next 2 years. But why is it relevant?
Oh, I can tell you why, but go ahead.
No. Hold on a second.
Yes. You get the tax, the NFL minority hiring tax. Because Aaron Glenn is a Jets head coach, you get 2 third-round selections for the next 2 years, which basically means you're giving away house money.
So two firsts plus Aaron Glenn and the dead body of Broderick Martin. I get Garrett a 5 and a 2.
I would do this every day. I would do this deal right now because, in essence, here's what you're really trading away when you look at this. You're gambling on yourself. You're gambling away next year's number one pick. Because I look at your number one pick this year is Miles Garrett. So if you could get him at pick 28, you would take him. So that's irrelevant. The third rounders, You can't miss what you never had. They're gone.
Interesting part here. The fifth in this deal is the pick you gave Cleveland for Za'Darius Smith.
So you get it back?
Okay. Would you do it? This is an actual formulated, I know it's a little complex for radio, but work with us on this. You give up pick 28, pick 101, your first and third next year, and Broderick Martin. You get Miles Garrett. You get pick 165 this year, and you get a 2026 second-round pick.
Yeah.
I do the deal.
Because here's the other thing. Because,
that one up.
Because this team is loaded, you're drafting depth at this point.
Think about if you keep Za'Darius Smith and acquire Miles Garrett. You could bring back Marcus Davenport on a one-year prove-it deal.
So you're right. You basically got Za'Darius Smith for free.
And with your second-round pick this season, since you're trading your first, take a D tackle.
Mm-hmm. Because you know somebody's going to slide out the first round.
Yep.
And they're going to be sitting there like, wow, I can't, like Brian Branch. Like, again, I can't believe you got him at this pick.
You're sitting with $45 million in cap space. The announcement earlier, while you were hard at work, the news broke. Cap's going up from 255 to a minimum of 277. That's a $22 million increase, roughly, what, 7.5%? Pardon me, I went to Michigan State. I didn't go to Yale. The point is, Rico and I are like Voltron. We're doing the deal. I think the fact you're getting a 2 back, you're getting your 5th back that you gave up for Za'Darius, you're getting Miles Garrett, I'm doing it. Is it a lot? Of course it is. And you know what? Maybe it's not a great radio topic. That's a lot to remember while you're driving on 696. I do understand that. But I do that deal.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, just remember, you're giving up 2 ones and 2 threes for the next 2 years. The third round selections are the Aaron Glenn picks that the NFL is giving you.
From the Triple XL update desk, TJ Lang reminding me. Thank you, big guy. The Lions are also getting a 3rd/4th round compensation for losing Jonah Jackson. All the picks all the picks.
Okay. So, yeah. So, basically, if you're driving in a car, you're giving up this year and next year's number one.
Do the deal.
Number three for the next 2 years, compensation picks.
Do the deal.
And you're in return, you're going to get the fifth this year and a second next year. And Myles Garrett.
If I get a single call bemoaning the loss of Broderick Martin, I'm walking out of here.
Right. You know what you're not? You're not giving up J-Mo.
No.
You're not giving up Gibbs. You're not giving up any of your star players. You're giving up Broderick Martin.
And in a lot of ways, you're giving up picks that were gifted to you.
Right. And your number one selection this year, unless it was a linebacker, probably ain't playing this year.
Well, I think if you took a D lineman at 28, they're in the rotation.
They're in the rotation. Yeah, maybe not starting, but in the rotation.
But they ain't Myles Garrett.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Think of the number one. Think of your first round selection.
Let me tell you
something. Myles Garrett.
Rico, I would. Okay.
The only pick that you're really gambling on is next year's number one.
I would do this very same deal for Max Crosby. I would do the very same deal for Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it for Trey Hendrickson. That's a different. Trey Hendrickson's way cheaper.
This pick, this only, it blows up in your face if you a rash of injuries on the offense.
Or
your quarterback goes down, and now you're sitting there next year, and you have the eighth pick overall because you just had too many injuries, and now it's like, oh my goodness, we gave up pick number.
Do you want this deal, Lions fans? Even if you have been on the we don't need Myles Garrett thing, in the aggregate, you're only losing two picks. Your first this year, your first next year, your third this year, your third next year. But you're getting a two back. You're getting another third round pick from Jonah Jackson. You're getting two thirds from Aaron Glenn getting hired. You're not really destroying your cachet. And you're getting Myles Garrett. 248-539-9797. I know that's probably complicated for radio. This is a bad job by me.
No,
David, your thoughts.
Yeah, you make this deal all day, every day.
That's why it has no shot of happening.
Probably. You're probably right. But
now that you may be correct.
Everyone is saying do the deal. I mean, you got yes, yes, yes. That's Craig in the car. I stopped listening after you said Myles Garrett. The answer is yes. Someone else says make that move now. Jason in Heartland. Yes, 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 yes. Please, God, yes. I would do this straight yesterday.
Is with the way the draft board is shaped up this year, very deep on the defensive line. So you having a second round pick, I'm with Rico on this. There's an ability to draft a first round defensive tackle or first round defensive lineman. And if this season didn't teach you anything, you can't have enough of them.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, in 2 years, when you get that extra second-round pick with yours, you can move up to late in the first round if you really see that guy. And just trade those two number twos for that one.
Well, and here's the thing, and I'll kind of relate this to the topic we opened up the show with. When they get more TV money from another deal, now the cap is...
The cap will be over $300 million in 2026.
I mean, make the deal, because you have plenty of room on the cap.
How long do Rico and I have to tell you the cap ain't real? I mean, as Rico always famously puts it, how has someone not put a foreclosure sign out in front of the Caesars Dome in New Orleans? There's $60 million over the cap now.
Right. They just had the Super Bowl. It's like, didn't you used to have a team here? Yeah.
They shouldn't be able to flush a toilet.
No.
Lions have $45 million cap space.
Brother, they're getting paid in beignets.
Wow.
Because they're so far over the cap, but somehow they manage to field a team every year.
Here's a question, too. If you don't want to do this deal, why? Like, I'm not going to vilify you just because I don't understand you. But you give up pick 28, pick 101. You give up a 1 and a 3 next year in the dead body of Broderick Martin. You get Garrett. You get a fifth this year, the fifth you gave up to get Za'Darius Smith. And you get a second round pick in 26. Who's not doing this deal? And candidly, knowing that the cap went up by a lot today, what excuse do the Lions have to not get a Myles Garrett type player this right. offseason? Whether it's Garrett, Hendrickson, Parsons, or Max Crosby, that type of guy. What excuse do they have?
Oh, you're right. That you don't have any because you have to be aggressive unless you're in the let them cook camp.
But I, no. You don't get to be in that camp if you don't talk about the recipe. If you don't explain why that outweighs this.
If anything, you saw that you need some help on your defensive line, you should be overly aggressive, whether you're bringing somebody in with the pick or what, or free agent. I would rather just go and get the player that's ready right now. That's why I said, do what you got to do to get Garrett here. Make it happen.
248-539-9797. All right, college basketball. Rico was at Lob City last night. I don't know where MSU got 10 dunks from, but it happened. I watched.